Basis for the sermon comes from our gospel reading today, where Jesus said, "I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I've come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." Now, fire can be a pretty good thing for us, but it can also be a fairly bad thing, too. When you think of fire, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? For me, it's what I did yesterday in my backyard. Burn the garbage. Get rid of all the papers so you don't have to throw them in the garbage and nobody can look at them and get your address and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's a good way to kind of preserve your identity. Or if you were on a fire department or are on a fire department, which I have been, you remember the fires that destroyed homes and barns and fields and forests. Fire can be rather destructive. Or if you've ever been burned or know someone who has been, you know how fire can be disfiguring and painful and cause a lot of distress in a person's life, sometimes their whole life. Fire has the power to destroy and change things dramatically. But then there's the positive sides of fire. You have, like we did last weekend, we had a barbecue, and fire helped cook the food. It was a good thing for us. Fire can also keep you warm in the winter with a nice roaring fire in your fireplace. It can help make things. It can melt steel or steel ore so you can produce buildings. If it can be used by a blacksmith to do such things as this right up here, create our cross. Fire has very good gifts for it. It can take gold and silver and make them pure and make them more valuable. And it can even provide new growth if it burns a forest or a field over. Now the new growth can sprout and you can have a better forest or field than before. Fire is a description of our God too. There are great benefits that God has, but also some undesirable things, you might say, that God has when it comes to his dealing with fire, you might say, towards us. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, and Moses writes, "Know therefore today that he," talking about God, "who goes over before you as a consuming fire, is the Lord your God. He will destroy them and subdue them before you. So you shall drive them out and make them perish quickly as the Lord has promised." Now he's talking about Israel's enemies, God's enemies in the land of Canaan. Later on, Ezekiel, the prophet's going to say, and I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and build in the breach and stand in the breach before me for the land that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore, I have poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the wrath of fire of my wrath. I have returned their way upon their heads, declares the Lord God. Now he's not speaking about God's enemies. He's speaking about the people of Israel, people of Judah. They were now being consumed by the fire of God, the wrath of God. And then Jeremiah talks about the prophets, the pastors of the day. The prophets will become wind. The word is not in them. Thus shall it be done to them. What is it? Behold, I'm making my words in your mouth a fire, and this people wood, and the fire shall consume them. He's talking about the false prophets, the ones who are preaching untruths about the Lord himself. And then even Jesus himself says, if you or your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. It's better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. And now he's talking about all sinners. There is a wrath of God, and we sometimes forget that. The wrath of God is going to be poured out like liquid fire onto those who do not have faith in him, who disobey his words and his commands. For those who do not receive his mercy by faith, All they will receive is his wrath, because God gives. He only gives. He's going to give his grace, and if you reject that, he will get his wrath. In other words, sinners will be consumed in the eternal wrath of God. But there is protection from that wrath of God. Now, you may have seen a show that I saw once about firefighters. They call them smoke jumpers out west, how they parachute into places where they're fighting big forest fires. They carry with them a blanket that if a fire overtakes them, they can hunker down onto the ground, maybe dig a little pit quick, and cover themselves with this blanket, this shield. And the fire then, at least the heat, will be protected from it by that this blanket they cover themselves with. In a sense, that's what Jesus is like for us. He's that protection that we can pull over ourselves because his righteousness that he gives to us, his forgiveness that he gives to us, protects us from the very wrath of God. Unbelievers don't have that protection. Instead of being shielded by the Lord himself and believing in him, they instead will have to stand up to that hot blast of God's wrath all on their own. They will be imprisoned in the hell of and the fire of hell with the evil angels because they refuse to reject, they refuse to take that blessing of God's forgiveness to themselves. Instead, they reject his help. They think they can stand on their own merits. They don't believe in the Lord God in the first place. And Jesus himself is going to be the one who will say to the goats on his left hand, go into eternal fire prepared for the evil angels. Jesus is going to do that. Send them to hell in unquenchable fire. And that doesn't seem to match up with the way people see Jesus nowadays. There are a lot of different Jesuses out in our world this day. There are a lot of people who say that Jesus was not really God and that he's not going to be sending anybody to hell or not. He's just a regular human being like us. Some say that Jesus isn't even sinless. Many adults believe that they're going to go to heaven as a result of their good deeds, their good works, their good actions, their good intentions, just because they're good people. That's the most common perception among Americans, even those who have made a commitment to Jesus in a Barna research. People who identify as Christians, way too many of them think, I'm good enough, and that's all that really matters. Even preachers are saying things like this, teaching things that are not true about what Jesus talks about himself. There are false prophets and teachers on the internet and on TV who say things like, you don't have to believe everything that the Bible says. You can have your doubts. You don't even have to believe that Jesus died on the cross and was raised from the dead. As long as you're good, as long as you follow the rules, as long as you do the 10 steps of life that I can show you, as long as you found your purpose in life, then you're okay. But that's not what the Lord Jesus tells us in the scriptures about us or about himself and his work of salvation. Because see, Jesus brought division into this world. Yes, it says in Luke, peace on earth, goodwill to, and peace on earth and goodwill to men of goodwill. Jesus came to bring people to him. But because of his words, because of who he is, he will divide this world because the world doesn't want to hear him. He divides people because there are those who will not listen and trust his words. There are those who don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. It's just they don't want to hear his words and trust in him. They'd rather trust in themselves. They'd rather believe that I can do it. I can stand up before God and show him my good works, my good deeds. And that's what divides the world. And it started with Cain and Abel. Many, even of the Hebrews, during the days of King Solomon, started believing in something different. And when his son Rehoboam and the kingdom was split around his time, in his reign, the people of the north set up their own worship center. And then that own worship center, they decided to worship God in a different way, something other than what the Lord had asked them to do, commanded them to do. And they began dividing. The world's divided over what God has said. Even Jesus himself, the Pharisees thought he was a fake and a false prophet. They couldn't listen to his words and follow them. And it divided the people even then. You can even see the division in our own family, in the Christian church now. People are divided over the person and work of our Lord. We're divided by the truth that Jesus tells of our sin. We don't think we are all that sinful anymore. We forget what sin is. It's a deadly killing for us. It moves us to death, and it keeps us in death. And without the forgiveness of sins, we will die eternally. We don't like to hear that. We don't like to trust necessarily in Jesus taking care of it. I'll take care of it myself. But that's not how we are saved. We cannot save ourselves by any means or by any of our own good works. Jesus came, as he says, to throw fire on the earth. And there is a fire of judgment coming. That fire of judgment is coming on the one's belief, or their view, you might say, of who Jesus is. Jesus proclaimed who he is in the ministry, his ministry, by his words and his signs, his miracles. But he also proclaimed who he is by his death and resurrection. Jesus is the one who would throw fire onto the earth, and the fire of judgment instead fell on him. And that's what he's talking about when he says, I have this baptism to be baptized with. His first baptism when he came to this world was to be baptized in the River Jordan. And there when he was in the river, he identified with us, the sinners. He, in essence, took our sins as they were washed onto him. He became sin for us. And that next baptism he's talking about, the baptism of fire on the cross, where he would be nailed there and have God's wrath poured out on him. That was the baptism he was so concerned with getting done. That's why it says he was distressed. In that Greek word actually means more than it just bothered him. He was focused on it. This was his whole life's goal, to get to that point. He was consumed by that thought, that need to be crucified for you and for me. The fire of God's wrath would first fall onto Jesus when he was crucified. And before anything else could happen, he had to accomplish that. And so he sets his face to Jerusalem for us. He goes there for us because he knows we can't save ourselves. There's nothing we can do to push away God's wrath from us. We are only deserving of it. And can you imagine Jesus knowing this his whole time on earth? As he sets his face toward Jerusalem, he knows that God is going to pour out his wrath on him. He's going to be, in essence, standing in front of the volcano of molten lava as it comes to him. He is going to have that overtake him. He's going to have the forest fire ravish over him, and he has nothing to protect himself with because he's taking it for you and for me. Because of that act of love and mercy for all of us, for all of you, the wrath of God was appeased. The fire of God was quenched on his own dear son instead of on you. And we know that God will not demand that his wrath and anger be aimed at us, his forgiven sinners, anymore. We who have repented of our sins and sought God's forgiveness and look and trust in Jesus as our blanket, our security, our protection from God's wrath, we will not feel that wrath ever because Jesus has taken it all for you. That doesn't mean that all people will be forgiven, though, as some still falsely preach. those who do not look to Jesus as the one who stood in the way of that blast furnace of God's wrath will be consumed by it when they stand before God on judgment day. But for you who look to Jesus, who trust in him, there is no fire, there is no wrath, there's no blast of God's wrath anymore. Instead, it's only open arms welcoming you into his eternal kingdom. The fire that Jesus took for us led to his death. But that same fire has led to life for you who believe in Jesus, because that fire has burned away our sins through forgiveness. And by faith in Jesus, we are purified and made holy, not by what we say, not by what we do, not by what we think, but by faith in Jesus and his righteousness. That punishment that he took in your place and mine is now credited to us through faith. And now, like that forest fire that's ravaged the earth, now new growth can appear. That new growth is a new life in you, a life looking to Jesus, a life filled with the Holy Spirit, a life that is open to hear God's commands, to want to desire and live that life, and to share that life with one another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.